And so they go about to establish their own righteousness. And then Paul answers all of that by explaining that we believe unto righteousness through the word of faith. So starting here in verse 4, it says, "And did all drink the same spiritual drink." Sorry, that's 1 Corinthians. It's a good passage too. I got a new Bible, so I've got to get used to things being in a different place. Romans 10:4. All right, here we go. "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith, which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So the word of faith. Let's pray. Lord, use your word to teach us and speak to our hearts tonight. Guide us in your truth. We give you this service in Christ's name. Amen. So as he says here, right after explaining that man is ignorant of God's righteousness and goes about to establish his own righteousness, he says in verse 4, "Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." The end of the law. The law is finished. It's hard for a lot of people to get their heads around this, but it is true. Let's look at some scriptures. Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. Colossians 2, 14. Most Christians believe that, yeah, the law was nailed to the cross, but there are parts of the Old Testament law that we're still bound to. Colossians 2:14, "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." You see that word "it"? That's referring to the entire Old Testament Mosaic law as a whole. It was nailed to the cross. Another passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, look at verse 7. "But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones..." So is there any question what he's talking about here? He's talking about the Ten Commandments, right? Because only the Ten Commandments were engraven in stone. "If that was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious." So what was done away? What was engraven in stones? Again, a lot of people have a hard time with that, but it's true. The law is finished. The law has been nailed to the cross, and Jesus is the end of the law for righteousness. Back in our passage, verse 4, "to everyone that believeth." The key is believing. The key is faith. "For to him that worketh not," Romans 4, 5, "but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." This is all, again, about righteousness, just like verse 3 and the end of chapter 9 was, and it shows up so many times. Verse 5, "For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up again from the dead." And as we know, Jesus Christ is in heaven. He's already come back from the dead. He said in Revelation 1:18, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and I live again." So Jesus has already died and risen again. And We don't want to put him through that again. Amen? But a lot of people really think that Christ should die every week. And it doesn't work that way. Verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. So Paul is saying the word of faith, the gospel of the grace of God, the gospel of peace, which is down in verse 15? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. That is the gospel we preach, the gospel of peace. If you go to Acts 20:24, the Apostle Paul refers to it as the gospel of the grace of God. Acts 20:24, he says, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. That's the word of faith. It's the gospel of peace, the gospel of the grace of God. And if we will believe the gospel, place our faith in Jesus Christ, as we've been talking, we get imputed righteousness. We cannot earn righteousness through the law. It's only through the hearing of faith. Galatians 3:2. Turn there quick if you would. It says, this only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now we know the answer. But here he's speaking to the Galatians who had been deceived by the Judaizers, saying, yes, it's good that you've trusted Christ. Now you need to keep the law. And of course, Paul writing to the Romans, or to the Jews here in Romans chapter 10, again, who are trying to earn salvation through the law. You can't. Righteousness is by faith. And the law is done. So when we hear the gospel, we are saved. It's that simple. Ephesians 1:13. Well, when we hear and respond, sorry. So look at Ephesians 1:13. But we must hear the gospel, and then we must, as we'll see in verses 9 and 10, believe and confess. So Ephesians 1:13, in whom ye also trusted, look at these key words. After that ye heard the word of truth, so there it is, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that ye what? Believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So that's the progression, isn't it? We hear the word of truth, we believe, and we're saved. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit. And then verses 9 and 10, most of you know it by heart. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. There's that word believe again, verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto what? Righteousness. So that kind of wraps up this whole righteousness passage. We believe unto righteousness. It's called imputation. And Romans talks about imputation probably more than any other book. Let's review it. Go to Romans chapter 3, verse 22. What is imputation? It's a fancy word for God giving to us the righteousness of Jesus Christ at salvation. It's placed onto our account. It's imputed to us, gifted to us. Romans 3:22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Look at chapter 4, verse 22. And therefore it was imputed to him, there it is, imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, verse 24, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed if we believe. There's that word believe again. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. So we're talking about imputation. And imputation takes place when we believe. But first we must hear, as he says in verse 8, the word of faith. The word of faith. This has been God's plan for 2,000 years. So he says in verse 9, if you'll confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, it takes both. It takes believing, it takes confessing. Confessing what? That Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, died, paid for our sins, rose again from the dead, and offers us eternal life. We confess that God is right, we are wrong, and then we place our faith. That's what the word believe, as we saw there in Ephesians 1, in whom you also trusted, it said. So trust and belief are the same thing. So when we hear the gospel and we believe it, we place our faith in Jesus Christ, we trust him, and God imputes the righteousness of Jesus Christ unto us, and we are saved. The jailer said, "What must I do to be saved?" Right in Acts 16. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Acts 16:31. So this word of faith, that's the gospel that we're to share with the lost. And if we will, and they will listen, and they will believe, and they will confess with their mouth, and believe in their heart, they'll be saved. And that God will then impute the righteousness of God to their account. So that takes us back up there to verse 3, doesn't it? "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." What that means is you must submit yourself unto the fact that God's way is the only way. God is right and we are wrong. That we cannot earn heaven. We must believe. We must trust. And then the righteousness of God is given to us. Hallelujah. We certainly don't deserve it. But without it, you're not going to get into heaven. "God hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin," 2 Corinthians 5:21, "that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." So we believe unto righteousness when we hear the word of faith. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. It's beautiful truth about righteousness and the word of faith, the gospel of peace, the gospel of the grace of God, Lord, that we've all heard and believed and confessed. And I pray we'll continue to share it with others so that they can do the same and receive the righteousness of Jesus Christ.